The message this morning is Five Principles of the Mighty Man. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, this is the 13th and the 14th verse. Now let me just preface that really I'm making it about men because it's Father's Day. But really the passage here can be used and is meant to be used to both men and women. And so do not think this is just a message just for men only. But I do want to speak to the men, and I think there's also an encouragement part that you'll see here. There's a challenge I have for the women. First Corinthians 16, 13, 14. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I just ask that you just speak to us this morning, God. Lord, that your voice be clear. Lord, that we would have an understanding. Lord, whatever distractions there are, Lord, that we would leave them behind. Lord, that your word would pierce our mind and our heart. I ask that you just speak to us and touch us now. I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Again, 1 Corinthians 16, that 13 and 14 verse, it says, be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you be done, or let all that you do be done in love. Let me re-emphasize it. Let all that you do be done in love. So I've entitled them as Five Principles of a Mighty Man. Now, when I say mighty man, what I'm not talking about, it's not militaristic in nature. It's not about being a strong man. It's not about you going to the gym and becoming the strongest man that there is, okay? It's not about you developing your muscles or anything like that. It's not about overt masculinity or toxic masculinity, okay? That is not what this is about. But I think we live in a weird time, okay? I'm just going to tell you, it's hard to be a man, and particularly it's hard to be a father. And when I say that, what I mean is there's a lot of confusion around these terms. Of really what defines a man, really what defines a father, what makes a person a good man, what makes a person a good father. You would ask what defines a man, and they're going to tell you all kinds of things. What are a man's duties? And, not even diving into the current debate on pronouns, gender dysphoria. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? As a church, we believe that a man is a biological man, is what he's born. But that's not it. Coming back to what are a man's duties? And if you were to ask different people, what defines a man? What are a man's duties? You're going to get all kinds of different answers. One's going to tell you it's a man's duty to work. It's a man's duty to be strong. It's a man's duty to defend and protect and do all of these things. Then other people are going to give you a different sort of response. And when you hear all these different responses, you're like, well, what is my, what really is, man? What is my duties as a man? To go even further, what is a father? And what are his responsibilities? For some people, being a father is simply just providing financially for the home. And that mom stays in the home, and she's the real one who really rears the kids and raises the kids and teaches them the values. Dad just goes out and provides. There are fathers out there who leave the home at 6 in the morning. They may not come back till 7, 8, 9 at night, even later sometimes, because they're providing a living for their family. Is that what a man is? For some people, that is their definition of what a father is. For some people, it's just the ability to produce biological children, okay? We have seen there are men who they are prolific producers. Okay? They have children all over the place with all kinds of different women. Is that really what defines as being a father? Depending on who you ask, you're going to get a vastly different depiction of what a father is. If you look at scripture, it's going to give you a different answer than maybe what society would give. So it's not always clear what being a man and a father means. And it can be confusing. And so you wonder why are men, and we live in a time also where we have fathers who aren't in the home. So you have young boys being raised and they're being raised and they don't really understand. They don't have a father figure. They don't have someone to see what it is to be a man. They don't have someone telling them, this is how you raise men. And this is no knock to single mothers. And single mothers are if that's what you're called to do, do it and do it well. Okay. But help that young, help if you have sons, okay, help them find a godly role model, someone that can teach them to be a man, because you're a woman and you know what a woman's supposed to be. But young men are supposed to be raised to be men. But so this is the climate we live in, is that it's not always clear. And we look at it, I hate watching TV and this, because how do they show husbands and fathers? They're typically bumbling idiots. They're a bit stupid. They're kind of crass. They're not really really understanding of the wider world, okay? They're kind of crude, and they fart, and they don't have good manners. And that's just not always true. Yeah, there's some men that do that sort of thing, right? But there are some men who are refined. They understand the world. They get it, okay? But we live in a society that kind of bashes and beats up on men. So we wonder, young men are growing up, what does it mean to be a man? What is it? So you have this overt masculine, you know, toxic masculinity, real strong man, you know. But then on the opposite side, you have this where you create these weak men who are not strong and they're overly feminine. And there's got to be a balance somewhere in the middle. But I think there's a struggle in our day and time of what it is to be a man, let alone a godly man. But I think Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians, he's wrapping up this letter to the Corinthians. And if you've read Corinthians, you know Corinthians has it's a wide book. The Corinthian church has a lot of problems, okay? They're not just, you know, they are not the perfect church, okay? The Corinthians have a lot of weird stuff going on, a lot of dysfunction. So if you feel like, hey, I come from a dysfunctional family, you'd be very at home with the Corinthian church, you know? And what I mean is the Corinthian church, they're very disunified. Some want to follow Apollos. Some want to follow Peter. And so there's this unity of who to follow. You've got some guy in the church. He wants to sleep with his mother. He wants to sleep there with his stepmother. Yeah, I mean, kind of weird stuff going on, right? I mean, extreme dysfunction is that he's sleeping with his father's new wife. I mean, extreme dysfunction. They can't practice the spiritual gifts correctly. They're abusing it when they come together and have a love feast, or you know, that's what we would call potluck today. The rich would come and they would forget about the poor, and they would eat. The rich would eat the food, and that sometimes the poor wouldn't get it. And so they has this extreme dysfunction in the church of Corinth, and Paul writes this, and as he's wrapping up, he gives these five imperatives to the church. Now, speaking on Father's Day, these imperatives will be given to the men. But women, it could be just as much as given to you. So the first thing he says is, be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you be done in love. Now, let me tell you, if you will allow me to go back to grammar school, all of this is written in the imperative. And what that means is when it's an imperative that you must do it, Paul is urging them, hey, you have to do this. This is essential that you do these things and that you practice these things. And so the very first thing is he says, be on alert. Now, this can mean two things. The first is kind of an eschatological sense, really is, hey, the Lord Jesus could return at any moment. His return could occur tomorrow. So live accordingly. So live your life like Jesus is coming back tomorrow. So let me ask you this. If you knew that Jesus was going to come back at 7 o'clock tonight, would it change how you live out the rest of your day?
Yes.
Amen, right? It should change. But we are supposed to live life, because here's the thing. It says that no man knows the day nor the hour of the Lord's return. And so, therefore, we should live in expectation. So the second idea of what it can mean to be alert is the idea is that is to be vigilant against the threats, ungodly or worldly threats to your faith. Okay, he's saying, hey, be vigilant, watch out for things that can destroy your faith, things that can be corrosive to your faith. And when you're out in the woods, there's certain things that you will watch out for in the woods. Do you want to go walking around in poison ivy?
No.
We did this once. We were up on Lake Superior. We decided to cut through this little patch of forest to get back to the car easier. And we get out, and what sign do we see behind us? Do not go into the woods, poison ivy. We had just walked through it. Now, praise God, we didn't actually get any poison ivy. And I had shorts on that day. But the idea is we watch out for that sort of stuff. We keep an eye out for bears. If you're down south, you keep an eye out for snakes. And so the idea is that be vigilant, watch out. Do not invite things into your life. Do not participate in things that could harm your faith, that could hinder your faith. Or if I had something to drink and it's your favorite drink, maybe your favorite drink is cherry Coke. And I'm talking about the real, you know, like the old fashioned cherry Coke where they put the Coke in there and they put the grenadine. And so it actually tastes like a real cherry Coke, not that, you know, gross stuff that they Coke makes itself. But if I told you, hey, you know, this is 99% cherry Coke, but there's a little bit of poison in there, would you drink it? No. Well, this is what happens sometimes. We invite just small things in our lives and they begin to corrupt our lives, or they become corrosive and they begin to take hold of our lives and they begin to eat away at it. And so he's saying, be vigilant. Watch out for these things. Don't let them come into your life. And so I think really the idea here when Paul is telling the Corinthians, and what I'm telling here you today, is that you should live your life like Jesus can return at any time, but also to guard your faith against the corrosive effects of ungodly influences. Don't let them in. There was a reason. Sometimes we tease the old saints, okay? We tease those old mothers. Those old mothers would come and get you, and they'd wrap up. They'd wrap up women and say, oh, baby, you're showing off too much skin. Oh, you shouldn't listen to that sort of music. You shouldn't partake in those things. And we laugh, and we are like, oh, they're so pharisaical. But they also understood the type of influences and what that could lead to. So be alert. The next one, stand firm in the faith. Now, these two are going to go together. So point one and two go together. Point three and four go together. Point five really kind of wraps them all up. But stand firm in the faith. So in the context of 1 Corinthians, faith was the traditions of Jesus' death and resurrection that Paul taught them. So he says, stand firm in the faith. He says, I've taught you these things. I've taught you about the crucifixion. I've taught you about the resurrection. And the reason Paul is telling them that is there's false teachers out there. There were people coming around and they were teaching the Corinthians incorrect things. They were telling him, there was even teaching that Jesus really didn't, you know, he really didn't die on a cross. And you had this, you know, later on you get Gnostic ideas. And so, but he's saying, hold firm to the things that I've taught you. Don't let them go. Don't depart from these teachings, because these teachings are true. But in our context, faith is the belief in the supremacy of God. Now, what is all that? What is the supremacy? God is greater than all things, okay? God, not only is he greater than all things, but he really should become before all things. You know, it's where we use the phrase, God is the head of my life. Well, if God is the head of your life, that means he's in charge of all things. He is the president. He is the one in charge. He should lead, guide, and direct you. So faith is the belief in the supremacy of God. And Jesus found in and taught in the Bible. And so here, okay, our faith is, now a lot of times we say our faith is in Scripture. No, our faith isn't the teaching. Our faith is really in Jesus. But we find those parameters in Scripture, okay? Really, they are kind of the rules. They're the ones that they give us our guidelines. You know, they talked about the Bible and Scripture as kind of being a ruler or a guide. It gives us a guide to life. And so, you know, when you're looking at a church has bylaws, or organizations have bylaws. The bylaws give structure and tell the organization how to behave. These are our bylaws as a Christian. They give us instruction of how to behave and how to act. Now, sometimes we would like a little bit more depth and understanding. But again, our faith is in Jesus. The word of God gives us structure to that. So we're called to stand firm in our faith. So standing firm in our faith kind of has this militaristic concept. It's to hold our ground regarding our faith. And so now, while being a man doesn't necessarily, you know, to be a mighty man doesn't necessarily contain a militaristic concept, but standing firm in the faith means to hold your ground. When you're in a battle and you're holding your ground, if you back up, that means the enemy can come forward. Okay, and in our lives, and is being mighty men, mighty women of God, mighty people of God, that we are supposed to hold our ground. When we give up ground, that means we have to take it back eventually. And when we give it up, that means the enemy is able to come in and to have more free reign and have influence in our lives. So one of the things as a father that we have to stand, fathers have to stand firm in the faith, because why? They are leaders in their home. They lead children, they lead their homes, they lead businesses, they lead, and even for women, you do these things as well, but for fathers, you know, and fathers-to-be, stand firm, hold your ground, don't give up the ground, you know, hold the line, don't give it up, stand firm in the faith. Hey, you know, on a basic level, how do we stand firm in the faith? Well, part of it, we have to know the word. We got to spend time in it. We have to study it. We have to know it. At work, you have to know your job. You have to learn how to use this machine or that machine. You have to understand the different concepts. You have to understand the rules on this thing or that thing. You know, when can I give a return? When can I give a return? When do I have to refer this up to higher meds? You have to learn all of these things to be a good employee. You have to be there on time, and you have to work hard, and you know, you're not supposed to show up sick, and you have to get along with your employee, with coworkers, and you're not supposed to spread gossip and cause trouble, right? Well, we know people do all these things. Well, it's the same way in our walk with Christ. It's our same way in our walk with God, that there's certain things that we have to do, but you can't know them if you don't read your Bible, okay? You can't understand these things if you're not part of a faith community, a church, where you're being built up and being strengthened. The third point. And so we're called to be, now Paul's telling us, hey, you have to be alert. You have to stand firm in your faith. And you have to be courageous. But actually what the text actually says is to act like a man. Literally, that's what it says in the Greek, is to act like men. Okay? Act like men, okay? So this does not mean some weird stuff where you are to become, women are supposed to become masculine. That's not what it's talking about. Really, the concept here is what you see in other translations, it says, be courageous. And so acting like men can mean being courageous. While it appears that Paul's imperative is to a male audience only, It is truly an appeal to the whole church of Corinth to be strong, valorous, and not to behave cowardly. If you're going to be a father, if you're going to be a Christian in general, you have to be courageous, okay? You can't behave cowardly. There are times that you will be challenged and confronted with things that are not godly. You're going to be invited to do things that are not right. You are going to be invited to do things that shouldn't be done. And you have to have the courage and the conviction to stand up and say, no, I will not do that. I'm going to do the right thing. There are men out there that will invite their friends. They know they have a wife at home. They know they have children at home. And they want to invite them out to the strip club. They want to invite them out to go to the bar and fool around with other women. But yet they know that they're married. And this is where a man has to be courageous and stand up to his friends and say, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm a person of integrity and I want to honor my family and I want to be a man and do the things that I'm supposed to do. And so there's times that you will have to stand up to friends and tell them, no, I won't do that. So you have to be courageous. You have to be strong. Valor. Now all these these are kind of like military type terms, right? And so I'm not saying that, you have to go off to war, but there is a spiritual battle that takes place. And anytime that you're a leader, you get put on that front line. You get married. You start having children. You take leadership positions. Now you are on the front line. You know, if you've worked, you might just be one of the workers, but once you take on a management position, you start dealing with more conflict. You have to deal with the unruly customers. You have to deal with the complaints. You have to deal with management. You have to deal with the employees. All of these things become greater and more intensified. It's the same way as a father. That spiritual struggles that you have now become intensified and stronger because you're in a different role. You're no longer just protecting your faith, but you're protecting the faith of others. You know, your spouse, your children, grandchildren. Hey, being a father doesn't end when your child turns 18. Being a father is a father for life. Your child might be 50. You're still going to be a father to them. You're still going to exhort them. Speak wisdom to them. Lift them up. Build them up. Pray for them. Encourage them. Be there when they fall. It's interesting. Paul tells the Corinthians that they are set apart. And in chapter 1, verse 2, he says that you are set apart. Then again in 6:11. He tells them that they are set apart. They must stand against the extraordinary pressures of the pagan society around them. The Corinthians lived in a society that worshiped multiple gods. They had multiple things trying to pull their attentions away from the one and true God. And he's telling them, be courageous. Don't be cowardly. Stand up for your faith. Protect your family. Protect your home. Protect your church. The fourth imperative is be strong. But he just told them, be courageous. Now he says, be strong. What this means, he's not telling them, hey, you need to go get a membership at Anytime Fitness. You need to go get a membership at Lifetime. And you need to, or Goldie's Gym. And you need to go there and you need to begin to lift weights and do this. Not what he's telling them, okay? But what has happened is the Corinthians have been weak when they should have been strong, okay? They caved in to pressures. They didn't do the things they were supposed to. They behave like the world around them, okay? When the poor, when they were having their love feast, okay, and they were fellowshipping together, sometimes the rich would eat and they wouldn't wait for the poor. Well, sometimes the poor, the love feast might be the only time they could get a full meal. And so a love feast is really they would get together and they would have communion. And so in the first century, when they would have communion, they actually had a full-on meal. It wasn't where you had just a little cup of grape juice. It's just a little, you know, wafer that has no leaven in it or no yeast in it. No, they had a full-on meal, okay? I don't know what they ate, okay? But they had a full-on meal. They probably had beans, and they probably had vegetables, different things, and probably lots of bread. They may have meats. You know, it's hard to know what exactly they ate. But they had a full meal. And one of the things that some of these Corinthians would do is they wouldn't wait. They wouldn't even pray over the meal, that they would just begin to eat, and they would forget that poor family back there. And so Paul told them that, hey, if you can't wait, if you can't go home and eat it by yourself. And so they were giving into this thing. Some of them were participating in pagan rituals. And so he's telling them, hey, you've been weak, but now is the time to be strong. They lived in a time and a space of spiritual danger. Paul's telling them to be vigilant, strong, and valiant to withstand the attacks of the power of darkness. That same message is to us this morning. We live, probably this generation lives in a time that is more akin to the time of Scripture than we've seen in a long time. Previous generations lived in a moderately Christian generation. They may not have been godly Christians. They may not even have been true Christians. But there was a Christian veneer. But now we live in a multifaceted society where there's all kinds of different religious ideas. There's things that oppose Christianity, and it's pulling us in all kinds of different directions. And now we live in a place of spiritual danger and darkness. And Paul's word to the Corinthians is still the word to us. And he's telling us to be vigilant, to be strong, to stand up and stand firm in our faith, to be valiant when we are attacked by the powers of darkness. So he says, be strong. The fifth imperative. And really, this is the one that really wraps it up, okay? So he says, you must be alert. You must stand firm in your faith. You must be courageous. You must be strong. And he says, you do it all in love. You must do all of these things in love. It's okay to be alert, okay? It's okay to be like that person who's on the watchtower, who's looking out, making sure that bad things don't happen. It's good to stand firm in your faith. You have to stand firm in your faith. He says, be courageous, be strong. Don't be cowardly. Be spiritually strong, but do all of it in love. Do all of it in love. He wraps up his exhortation to the Corinthians, reemphasizing love. We just finished up Corinthians 13. Interestingly, you have Corinthians 12 talking about spiritual gifts. You have Corinthians 13 talking about love. The greatest of all these is love, right? Love is the balm that heals the wounds of schism and disunity, infighting, the misuse of spiritual gifts, the abuses of the poor. Love heals the broken relationships between fathers, sons, mothers and daughters, husbands and wives. Love is the balm that heals broken relationships between friends. Love is a balm that heals many things, okay? But it's the thing. Love is just not free. Love is not the permission just to do anything we want, okay? But love brings healing, but it also brings restriction, okay? And when I say that love brings restriction is because there's certain things that love tells us that we cannot do, okay? If you love your spouse, you will not cheat on them, okay? Not just because, not only the scripture tells you not to, but because you love them. And, you know, you don't have freedoms to go out and do what you want. And love is defined by God. So God is love, okay? What does that mean, God is love? That he is really the defining aspect of love. You want to know what love is? Love is sending your son to die on a cross when he actually had no sin in him. Jesus never committed sin. He never did anything wrong. Why did he go to the cross? He did it for me and for you. He did it for my sin and your sin. And you want to know what love, that's what the definition of love is. I'm going to give up my son to die on your behalf. That is the ultimate sacrifice. There is an aspect about love that is sacrificial. It gives of itself. You'll see parents that will sacrifice and they will give of themselves so their children have better lives. Fathers, this is one of the things that we do. But usually love binds all the principles together powerfully. Okay? He says, be alert, but do it in love. Okay? I'm interpreting Paul for you, but what he's saying here is, be alert, be watchful. I'm returning soon. Live your life in such a way to guard against your faith against the ungodly influences, but do this in love. Okay? He says, stand firm in your faith. Okay? Hold your ground. Don't give any of it up, but do it in love. Okay? It's one thing, a lot of times we will get Christians get up and they'll say something isn't right, something is wrong, but they don't actually do it in love. Okay? Churches, they go to places and you'll see God hates abortion. Yes, God does hate abortion. That is not God's plan. But God, why does God hate abortion? Because that baby in the womb was fearfully and wonderfully made. Here's the thing. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made in the image and the likeness of God. So yeah, destroying that is a problem because that's God's creation. You know, getting up saying God hates fags. Yeah, that's a problem. Okay. Because they're fearfully and wonderfully made and they're made in the image of God. They just have an image of God that is marred right now. God wants to redeem that. God says, be courageous. Be strong. Don't behave cowardly, but do so in love. He says, be strong, be valiant. Stand up against the attacks of the power of darkness, but do so in love. Do all of this in love. You can go to the next one here. So it's interesting. These two verses here. If you look at all the Corinthians, okay? If you look at all the teachings in the first 15 chapters, all of it can be summed up and be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do it all in love. This is a summation of the whole book of Corinthians. In two verses. Now there was other things that there was issues that had to be addressed. But Paul says, in closing, let me reassert everything that I've told you for 15 chapters in two verses. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do it all in love. So what's the big idea this morning? God is calling men to be mighty men of faith. Okay? He's calling women, but since it's Father's Day, we're going to deal with fathers. Women, he's calling you to be mighty women of faith as well. So women, all five of these imperatives can be applied and expected to be done in your life as well. But here, again, Father's Day, so we're going to talk to men. So here's a question. Men, or not so much question, but men, when you live by these five principles, you are a mighty man of faith. You got to do all five of these principles. So we ask the question, what is a man? What is a husband? Well, this is what a man, if you want to know the definition of what a man and a husband is, it is found in these five principles. Be alert, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do it all in love. These are the things that you're supposed to do with your children. These are things you're supposed to do in your home, okay? You know, fathers, when you talk to your sons and your daughters, hey, you know, you should do missionary dating. Missionary dating is you're a Christian, they're not a Christian, and you're really hoping that they become a Christian by dating. Yeah, that's not the best idea, okay? Fathers, when you tell your sons that and your daughters that, it's okay to tell them that, but make sure you're doing it in love. Don't beat them up. Don't discourage them. Don't exasperate them. Don't wear them out. Do it in love. Your sons, your daughters are going to make mistakes. Love on them, okay? Love on them. Be firm, but love on them. You're their daddy. No one else is. Okay? I want to say something. I know some of you, maybe your father weren't around, okay? Maybe your daddy was a rolling stone. Okay, he rolled around. Wherever he laid his head was his home. You didn't know him. Okay, or maybe he was in and out of your life. Okay, and I know maybe Father's Day is hard for you. All right, think. The Bible says that God is a God to the fatherless. He is a father to the fatherless, and he's a better father than any father that you could imagine or think. The Bible also tells us not only that God is the father of the fatherless, but it tells the church, it tells believers to be fathers to the fatherless, to take care of widows and orphans. That is our call as a church. So, men, will you live by these five principles? So there's really three callings here today. Men who are fathers today, be a mighty man of faith. Okay. Begin to practice these things. So these are not just one-time things. These are things that are practiced on a daily basis. You have to live it out. Second, men who are yet fathers to be, become mighty men of faith now. This is your calling in the future, but it's also your calling now. Take heed, listen, and learn. Okay? Practice this now so when you get there, you're good at it. Women, pray for the fathers you know so that they will embody these principles and live as mighty men of faith. Don't tear them down. Don't say, hey, I got to do this thing on my own. No, begin to pray for the fathers around you. Yes. Even if your father wasn't a good father, he wasn't a good man. Begin to pray for the fathers around you. Remember, this is a hard thing. It's complex. We don't always know how to do it, but here we have a model. We have a plan, okay? So pray for them that they will begin to embody and live out these principles as mighty men of faith. So in closing, will men, women, will you be alert? Will you stand firm in faith? Will you be courageous? Will you be strong? And will you do it all in love so that you might be a mighty man or woman of faith? Hold on. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I just ask that you just bless. Lord, I ask that you bless fathers here today. Lord, I ask that you bless them alive. Touch them. Keep them there. Lord, make them into mighty men. Men who are alert. Men who stand firm in faith, who are courageous, who are strong, and they do it in love. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, if they feel like they've missed the mark, let them find men to mentor them, to encourage them, to help them be accountable, God. Lord, let us just build up men. Let us build up homes. Let us build our churches and our communities, God. And I pray these things now in your name. Amen.